live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 183. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
What's going on, Brandon? What's going on, Crossroads listening audience? Man, dude, loving this weather, man. They turned off my air conditioning. But, man, good weather here in the Circle City, man. And I know we got a great show tonight, so let's give us a rundown.
Yeah, big show this evening. We've got NFL talk, obviously, recapping week three in the NFL around the league. A lot of great things that happened, a lot of bad things that happened. We'll recap that. We also have preview in week four, what lies ahead. Week four gets underway tomorrow night, Thursday. We've got college football recapping some highlights from this past weekend's games, as well as previewing the next week. Quick hitters, MLB postseason is nearing. We are getting closer and closer to the postseason. Starts next Monday. So looking forward to that. And we've got the NBA season is right upon us. Media Day was yesterday, and we have the Pacers starting next week with the first preseason game already against the Knicks next week. The NBA is here. NBA has started. A little bit of news and notes, and that'll be the show this evening. So we got our picks for our college pick'em, so we'll be talking a little bit about that tonight. So we'll be ready. So let's dive right on in, John. Let's go straight to the NFL to start the night. Tennessee Titans, Indianapolis Colts, John. Tennessee wins 25-16. Carson Wentz, two bum ankles, went out there and played 19 of 37, 194 yards and two sacks. Frank Reich said after the game that a 60% or 70% Carson Wentz was their best possible chance to win the game. What does that say about your backups that you were all praising in the offseason and in training camp?
Right.
Jonathan Taylor, 10 carries for a running game. 10 carries, 64 yards. Looked good at first, and they went away from the run game, but they were in it the whole time. Derrick Henry, of course, blew off 28 carries, 113 yards rushing. And the Colts now, John, 1-12. With T.Y. Hilton not in the starting lineup since he's been drafted, 1-12, which is a crazy stat line. Eric Fisher, I thought he did okay. I think he got his ass blown off the line a few times there from some no-name defensive ends from the Tennessee Titans that I saw. And then as of today, seven starters are on the injury report going into this week's game. So, John, your analysis off this Tennessee game, if there is any.
Right. I didn't, going into this game, I didn't think the Colts had enough offense anyway to kind of keep up with the Titans. But as they got out there, the defense made, even though they made, some plays that was kind of boneheaded, kind of scratch your head, Darius Leonard there. They did enough to let the offense. I mean, that's what modern age football is. Let's just be honest, Brandon. In the days of the steel curtain, I know, the fan lore from Pittsburgh and even the 85 Bears, shout out to, those dominant defensive teams, those days are kind of like done, especially with the way passing rules and receivers and cornerbacks is how that's kind of gauged, man. But defenses still are held accountable to get the offense back the ball, right? And you want to get your offense many times. A bite of the apple, right? That's kind of the analogy. You want to get them as more times to bite the apple as possible. Unfortunately for the Colts, man, that's kind of what happened for as far as defense is concerned. But, that when the offense is a worm, it don't matter. It doesn't matter. Or, it's not enough. They're not getting – when you potentially should, get seven, you're settling for three. Now, I'm always the person that says, you should get the points, period, regardless of, possession or whatnot. You should always get the points, right? If you stiff you on fourth and one or fourth and two or whatever, you should always get points, Don't necessarily just, late in the game, you definitely got to go for it. You got to go for touchdowns. But the offense is, it's just not – even with Carson Wentz out there, and I know he's, you know, I know he's not 100%, you know what I'm saying, basically playing on two sprained, high sprained ankles. It's still, they're not, it doesn't work. This offense is not clicking. This experiment of bringing him over here, or even the development that, you know what I'm saying, or the whispering that we said, you know what I'm saying, that Frank Wright could be for a quarterback with Eason, it's just not there. You know what I'm saying? All those things, and I've said this before, if you don't have a quarterback, you ain't got nothing. You can have a $200 million offensive line. You can have a running back, you know what I'm saying, who runs for – rushes for 800, 900 yards. But if you ain't got a quarterback that can get the ball down, deliver the ball down the field, or you know what I'm saying, get to the receivers and to the tight ends, you don't have nothing. So it was amazing that they scored what they scored, right? But again, man, you know.
They had some good good forced turnovers, forcing Tannehill into some of those interceptions. I thought that was a bright spot for the team in that game. I don't understand going away from the running game. 10 carries only for Jonathan Taylor.
You can lay your hand. You can lay your hat on that. But again, you know what I'm saying? You mentioned the 10 carries, only 10 carries from a guy that, you know what I'm saying, we can see the dynamic, you know what I'm saying, the playmaking ability out of him. I'm not saying he's, you know what I'm saying, I'm not saying he's Henry. I'm not saying he's Emmitt Smith or any, you know what I'm saying, a Hall of Fame type of, Barry Sanders or any type of Hall of Fame, but, you know what I'm saying, you can see that he's he could be a high usage back, and you went away from it. I don't even have the stats in front of me right now, Brandon. I don't even know if they passed to him. You know how you use a running back as a receiver. I don't even think they passed to him. So you have depth at that position, right? You have Nyheim Hines. You have, you know what I'm saying, our guy who wants to be traded now. You know what I'm saying? Who was a healthy scratch. So you have you know what I'm saying, depth at the position. So if you're skimmish or squeamish about using him because he's going to get hurt, you know what I'm saying? Remember, I mean, again, I kind of get that too, that mindset. But again, this is our best back. So you have to. It's not. Damn it, Brandon, he's probably the best player, right? So, again, it's kind of the head scratching why he only got 10 carries for that afternoon. So, Colts is in a hole. They got it. You know, we're going into must-win territory now, you know what I'm saying, regardless of who you're playing, whether it's, you know what I'm saying, now, the upcoming week, this is the Miami Dolphins who are definitely in a hole themselves, but they're in a must-win situation. And
how much?
You know what I'm saying? This is whatever adjustment you can be done, offensive line or offensive play calling, that's what you need to do. Again, defense is getting there, you know what I'm saying? But, again, I kind of put this on the offenses, you know what I'm saying, in their lap and in the coaching staff's lap.
Yeah. I thought this coming into this next week, obviously the early lines right now is Dolphins -2. So the Colts are going into Miami as underdogs. Over-under right now set at 43. I think there's more pressure on Indianapolis this game coming up than Miami. Back that the Colts are 0-3, they need to get a win. You can't start down 0-4 or even maybe 0-5, God forbid, when you stare this Ravens team down in 2 weeks. 0-5 on a season that you had high hopes for doesn't look great. And I think the fact with injuries, it is Quentin Nelson out again for a little bit, possibly. But you can't go into Miami and lay an egg and lose to Jacoby Brissett, John. You just can't. It's a must win situation where how much egg would be on the Colts' faces if Jacoby Brissett and the Miami Dolphins pull off a win against Carson Wentz and these Colts.
Well, right. So, you know, that kind of – we're going to pull back the curtain some more, right? So, bringing back to the guy that they cut, Hundley, right, that's a head-scratcher, you know what I mean? It's like we're kind of in free fall. It's kind of like we're in damage control here. So the narrative was, well, you know, Jacoby Brissett didn't want to be here. And, you know what I'm saying, but the real narrative, and you know what I'm saying, we discussed it on the, you know what I'm saying, previous shows, that they lost faith in Jacoby Brissett for whatever reason, but they didn't really look at, it seemed like they didn't look at the noodles of the situation and say, yo, well, you know what I'm saying, it didn't give Jacoby Brissett the leverage of saying, well, wait a minute, if the kicker hits those field goals or doesn't miss the extra point, you know what I'm saying? We're talking about a different record for Jacoby Brissett, his last year here with the Colts.
Right.
So So, like, again, man, so I get it. You know what I'm saying? They're supposed to be a little bit smarter than you and I or anybody else is kind of commenting on this. So you didn't bring any type of veteran presence to the position of quarterback. You didn't. You know what I'm saying? Yes, Sam Ehlinger is, you know, high-level rookie who played in Texas. Again, you know, oh, my God, I'm sure they speak very highly of him down there, and you know what I'm saying, and at UT. But, again, he's a rookie. Eason, again, where's the development? But you paid for him like he was ready. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? He didn't necessarily look bad, if you recall, during the preseason of this year, or this particular year, as he took majority of the snaps, right? But you know what I'm saying? They split time with him and Ehlinger. So again, man, you know, there's cap. I know people are gonna lose their mind. There is cap space. There was money available to bring in a veteran. You know, they probably could have been, regardless of what anybody thinks or says, there probably could have been a deal made for Jacoby Brissett. But again, the coaching staff didn't believe in Jacoby anymore for whatever reason. I'm sure there's probably a reason behind that. But you know, he didn't put up terrible numbers. Outside of, you know what I'm saying, like I said, give him that leverage of saying, well, wait a minute, I did what I was supposed to do. The other member of the offense or the special teams in this particular, you know what I'm saying, didn't do what he was supposed to do. And those were different outcomes of that game. So it will leave a bad taste in everybody's mouth if Jacoby Brissett goes out here and moves the chains and gets a win, you know what I'm saying, throws for 200 yards and two or three touchdowns. I don't think it's going to be a seven touch. It's not going to be a Brett Favre, Peyton Manning game. You know what I'm saying? Jacoby Brissett. You know what I mean? But
right.
I mean,
over-under is only 43.
Yeah, if he goes out here and throws for two touchdowns on the Colts, people are going to be – well, here's one thing, Brandon. The perception of Jacoby Brissett, like, you know, is going to change automatically around here, around the 317 market, right? But again, you know what I'm saying? It's going further, you know what I'm saying? People going to further question the coaching staff here. Again, if it wasn't Jacoby Brissett, what other veteran quarterback could have been brought in here to kind of help the quarterback talent in this, the quarterback room.
Okay. Prediction wise for me, I've got in a must-win game, must-win. I got Colts 23-17 over Miami this week in a must-win game. Backs are against the wall. Colts, show me something. Sack up, as one guy would say. One of your friends of the program. What do you think, John? Final prediction?
Oh man, when you say prediction, I always think about that scene from Rocky when they asked Mr. T about what he means. He says pain. Man, it's gonna be a close game. If I know Coach Frank doesn't necessarily listen to, you know what I'm saying, anybody's show, this one included, but like they're going to have to, the last two games, they needed more out of Jonathan Taylor, and they haven't necessarily put him in position to get more. So again, let's say he's top 2-3 players. We can say that he's the top 2-3 players on this team, talent wise. I get it. You know what I'm saying? Running backs ain't necessarily featured heavily in today's league, but like getting, you know what I'm saying? Let's see what we can do. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And put the best talent out there. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna pick the Colts, but I think it's gonna be a close game for sure.
Okay, perfect. Moving along. Let's see. Here we go.
Oh man, bagpipes!
The bagpipes are playing. And this team is dead. They, you might as well cancel the season. Cancel the season, start over. I had them predicted at 9-8, or even possibly 10-7. But hell, it might be a 7-10 season or a 6-11 season. The Steelers in this offense.
What?
With the talent that's around it right now, for some reason we can't get out of our own way. The defense is hurt. No excuse still. Some of your star players out. But, John, I don't see anything left in this team with Ben Roethlisberger being the starting quarterback that's got me having good scoops. That makes me look like this is a possible good farewell tour. If this is Big Ben's farewell tour, John – there might be some cities. There might be some cities where we may not even make it to. As much as he's getting hit in that backfield, he may not even make it to some of those final cities in that farewell tour.
Yeah.
He's not going to throw his offensive line under the bus. He won't do it. That's not the type of quarterback he is. But there is grave concern. We talked about this before the season even started. I said that we didn't get anybody for the offensive line. There was no improvement. We lost people. We lost Pouncey, the offensive line. We lost Villanueva, the offensive line. We're losing these guys. It's time to move on, as you say, yes, Destiny. It's time to move on from Big Ben. I hate to say it. I thought maybe we might be able to squeeze one more year. But I don't know, John. I mean, if we keep checking down to Najee, I mean, that's fine for my fantasy team. But, my God, he had 14 catches and 100 yards receiving for all the checkdowns. I don't know what is up with this team. We got thoroughly our ass beat this weekend at home against Cincinnati, which I can't remember the last time we got our asses beat by Cincinnati that bad. It's just – Tomlin says, you know, Tomlin does the Tomlin thing, the Tomlinism. We're going to write the course. We're going to go back and watch film. We're going to get better. And the results are on the football field. And all we can do is prepare us. Okay, Tom, Mike, I understand that. But is there any changes you can make? I don't know. I listened to Ben's press conference. Oh, there's just not enough pieces there as a team to make this a winning program. Winning program where it needs to be, where they want it to be in Ben's final year. You've got pieces on the defense. You've got pieces on the offense. It looks good on the outside, John, but on the inside, the between offensive line and all that it's not there. It's missing. And I said 9-8 begin the season. I think it might even be 8-9 possibly. Talk me off this ledge.
I would hold my guns to 9-8. Here's the thing, man. Your defense will get back healthy. I think TJ Watt, he missed a game. Correct me if I'm wrong.
He did. A game and a half.
So again, man, you know, this still is a league where defense is prized. And again, their job, defense's job now is to get offenses more bites at the apple, more bites at getting, you know, saying touchdowns, field goals, whatever the case may be, however you score in football. They have an elite level defense. There ain't no doubts about that. Okay, you can you know what I'm saying, as a Steelers fan, you can maybe second guess Najee Harris getting that, you know, picking him out when you probably needed to get a tackle or you know what I'm saying.
But our running game is horrendous too.
Or a guard, you know what I'm saying, in the draft. But again, man, players like him, the dynamicism that he showed in college, man, they just couldn't necessarily pass that up. I trust in coach and his ability to versus like okay versus what well, Frank Reich. I don't trust Frank Reich's ability to handle.
Glad you said that. I was going to ask you. Who do you trust more?
I trust Mike Tomlin to make adjustments. You know what I'm saying? What'll happen, Brandon? They'll pick on the weaker teams. I don't necessarily have their schedule in front of me. It'll happen.
Wasn't Cincinnati a weaker team? I feel like.
Well, no, they're a team on the come up.
I would have been fine if it was on the road, John, but you don't lose those games at home. The Pittsburgh Steelers don't lose home games to divisions.
Is the Jets on the – again, I know this is one game. Is the Jets on the schedule this year? That's I think I'm pretty sure they are.
They were last year. I'm looking at the schedule right now.
Go ahead.
Well, we're going to get our asses beat this weekend by at least 10 points. We're going to Green Bay. Rodgers is going to throw 500 on us. And then we play Denver at home. Denver's a good team, improved. We got Seattle at home, Sunday night football. That'll be a tough one. We go to Cleveland on Halloween. That's going to be a tough one, maybe a loss. And then maybe the next 2 weeks look okay because we got the Bears at home and the Lions at home. So maybe those next 2 weeks, then after that might be
okay. Brandon, when you said Denver, they are – I'm not saying they're the weakest undefeated team, and I know we're going over some of that here in a little bit, but that's a winnable game. Who else you said in there? Bears, yes. Bears is a mess.
Yeah, let me go through this schedule. Packers, loss. Broncos.
Loss. That's the iffy. I'm telling you.
That's iffy. Could be a loss. Yeah. It's at home, luckily, but it could be a loss. Seahawks. Could be
I'm
a
like,
loss.
Hey, man, you know what? Seahawks is
Sunday night football.
It's Russell, and guess what, America? They still can't protect Russell Wilson. They can't.
But Tyler Lockett can get past our secondary. Unless Joe Hayden's saying.
And even though they beat the Colts, I'm sorry, Brandon. I mean, talk over. Even though they beat the Colts week one, they're dead last in defense. Okay.
Right.
If you get to Russell, you can beat the Seahawks.
And then we're at the Browns, which is probably going to be a loss on Halloween. We're home against the Bears on a Sunday night or a Monday night game against the Bears at home. I feel okay about that. We play the Lions at home the following week. I feel okay about that. But then this is where it scares me. At the Chargers on Sunday night football, at the Bengals, home against the Ravens, at the Vikings, home against the Titans, at the Chiefs, home against the Browns, at the Ravens. That's a brutal freaking schedule.
Brandon, I know we're gonna get in. I know we're gonna deep dig. Hey man, you can throw on the Chiefs. Now they still got future Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes on the other end, but you can throw on the Chiefs. Me and you could score on the Chiefs.
Yeah, you gotta feel like they're gonna write that ship though, right?
I really don't. They want Patrick Mahomes. They're saying they need to score 40. And they better score 30 in the first quarter. I'm sorry, the first half. If they can score 30 in the first quarter, they take it. But they need to play with the league because their secondary and their tight. Excuse me, their corners and safeties are trash. So the scheme they're running is trash. Okay.
Yeah.
There was a game in there. The Ravens. Like man, is this? You know, if you can corral. If you can corral Lamar, that's a tough. That's
it's
always
a home game, December 5th at 4:25, home against the Ravens, and then January 9th on the road to end the season against the Ravens, which the season could be decided before then.
Well, Lamar got bailed out. Lamar got bailed out and prayed for.
We'll talk about that.
So, you know, and I know they were down a couple players, a couple starters, or whatever. But again, you know, any given Sunday, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. Next topic, man. Next topic. I think Steelers are fine, you know what I'm saying? But, you know what I'm saying? But, like,
go ahead and agree with me. Go ahead and agree with me. Aaron Rodgers probably going to throw for 400 yards. By the way, Aaron Rodgers, he talked very, very, very highly about the city of Pittsburgh and the Pittsburgh Steelers and their fans.
Did.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying, but I'm saying, hey, come on over next year. We got a spot for you. We already have a great team.
You got to understand, Brandon, Aaron Rodgers is very flirty. You know what I'm saying?
Come on, Aaron. Come on, Aaron.
And with NFL teams. And with NFL teams, man. He's, you know, I don't know.
Let me ask you this.
I'll tell you what, though, Brandon. He's gonna make it drawn out.
He's going to listen to him, though, I bet.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
So you're the Pittsburgh Steelers brass. Big Ben retires at the end of the year. So your quarterbacks right now are Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins. You look into free agency, and you've got three choices. Well, you look into free agency offseason next year. You've got Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, or you can trade for Deshaun Watson. Which do you do?
Well, you know.
Deshaun's not found guilty of anything. You've got probably maybe seven to eight years with Deshaun if you go after him.
Right, and that particular organization has been able to handle. I'm not trying to bring up nothing bad from the past, but that particular organization has been able to handle delicate PR situations better than anybody. Pittsburgh Steelers have. You know what I'm saying? Do they have the capital that the Texans kind of want in return for Deshaun? I don't know, you know what I'm saying? But, you know what I'm saying, if you go younger, I would go with Deshaun Watson. No, but I'd kind of have to know, again, now you open another can of worms, like, what's going on, Deshaun? But I'm pretty sure that – me personally, Brandon, on that particular topic, I think the NFL knows, you know what I'm saying? The NFL offices knows, which means other teams kind of know what's going on. So it's possible that might happen, but I would go with the younger player.
Okay.
If that was the scenario.
All right. Moving on.
Yeah. Oh man, more bagpipes.
We got a double bagpipes night. John, there's a team that resides, well, currently right now up in Chicago. We need to check on these Chicago Bears fans. We've got friends that are Bears fans. Brandon Brantley, Mitchell Larry, Nick. There are several. Brad Warner is another one of mine. We need to check on these Chicago Bears fans, John, because what we just saw this weekend might have been the worst performance in football history. You only had – now, let me put it in perspective like this. Justin Tucker kicks a 66-yard field goal for the NFL record as time expires.
Yeah.
That field goal took 3 seconds to go 66 yards, right? The Chicago Bears didn't even have 66 yards of offense in 48 minutes. Justin Fields sacked 9 times, John. Let's talk the Chicago Bears now, the fans, off this ledge.
I can't.
What is going on in Chicago?
I can't. 9 sacks, I can't talk about the ledge.
Do you think Nagy did it on purpose? There's rumors that Nagy did this on purpose to show everybody, hey, see, I told you Andy Dalton should be our QB.
If that's the case, then he should be removed. Brandon, I'll be honest with you, and this is no disrespect to the Detroit Lions, who they played this weekend. If they lose badly, poorly, to the Detroit Lions this weekend, they will fire. It will be a Black Monday for Matt Nagy.
Uh-oh.
I'm guaranteeing it, because you went out there. Dude, I watched the game from start to finish, man. So, again, we know.
My apologies.
We know the offensive line is got some question marks on it, but like, dude, they were coming. I feel like the right side is like, hey, right side is the weakest point of attack with the Chicago Bears. So where's the adjustment? So if we do know that Justin Fields holds the ball a little bit longer than most quarterbacks, you know what I'm saying, he doesn't get the ball out fast, right? He hasn't necessarily learned that. Hell, it's something that he had at Ohio State, right? If we know that's the case, then why aren't we doing maybe even, you know what I'm saying, some run-pass plays? Or oh, my goodness, Brandon, what happened to their running back situation?
Yeah,
They didn't run the ball well either. So again, you have to protect your young quarterback. What do they always say, man? I can't remember. When you got a young quarterback, you want to give him a young running back to help. Shutter some of the offense. You know, take some of the pressure off, and that didn't happen either. So, man, they didn't put Justin Fields. They, being Matt Nagy, did not put Justin Fields in a position to win.
John, did that look like to you? Because I went back and watched the game on Game Pass. They looked like they threw Justin Fields in a Andy Dalton style offense. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So
they didn't tailor it to him. They just said, "Hey, we're going to throw you in here and go at it."
Right. Dude, hold on, though, Brandon. After the fourth sack, as a coach, wouldn't you pull him? Wouldn't you sit him down?
You would think.
You got Nick Foles over there, Super Bowl winning champion, Super Bowl was he Super Bowl MVP?
Yep.
Yeah, you got Nick Foles over there. I'm saying after the fourth one, we got up to 9.
But how much of it was his fault? I don't know how much it was his fault as much as it was his offensive line.
Well, again, you didn't adjust. Coach didn't adjust. Didn't come up
Correct.
With any type of plan to adjust. That's what some of the top. I mean, Bill Belichick will adjust. Harbaugh will adjust. You know what I'm saying? Hey, we saw him, you know what I'm saying, make adjustments. So again, what are you getting paid for? So if he set him up, he set his player up to fail, he was successful in that. And if that's the case, then he needs to go, because that's not what you do.
So if they lose Monday, Sunday, he's gone on Monday.
If they
you're pushing for it.
I mean, by Detroit, we know Detroit, and this ain't no shade to them. I think that offensively, I think they can score. It's just that their defense is like porous. It's like Swiss cheese, you know what I mean? But if they lose, let's say Detroit registers and they win the game, he'll be fired, and it won't be a question of if Matt Nagy what are they going to do with Justin Fields next? You know what I'm saying? He'll be fired.
So, in a 10-second answer, do the Bears win against the Lions this week?
I've already said this on Twitter. I'm taking Detroit.
Oh boy. we know some people that'd be very happy with that. Right. You remember back in the day when we thought back this summer when there was a lot of craziness going on with the NFC North that we said, hey, with Aaron Rodgers maybe out in Green Bay or the drama he's facing, hey man, this division could be the Chicago Bears. And I mean, nope. That ended 3 weeks into the season. So, Chicago Bears, best of luck this week. Detroit Lions. I'm picking the Lions as well in this game. The spread, John, I looked it up. The Bears are favored by 3 in this game. And I think it's only
home. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, speaking of Lions, Tigers, and Bears, oh my, the Ravens, 66-yard field goal by Justin Tucker, the NFL record off the crossbar to win and set the record. My God, might be the greatest NFL kicker of all time. I'm sorry, Vinatieri fans, but clutch. Ravens win, John. No delay of game call on Lamar when it should have been at least 2 seconds after – the play clock was out. He called hike the play before, but it's a tough loss for the Lions. Lions being Lions. I watched Fred's Instagram story about it. Just about as win as much as I expected. I want you to talk about what your thoughts are on this game, but real quick, a follow-up question to that as well. Mm-hmm. I believe the NFL is getting to the point, John, now where you need to score at the end of the game, but you need to score you may need to take some extra time off the clock to leave no more than like 8 seconds left on the clock nowadays.
Right. Game manager, so that the other team doesn't hurry up and do it.
Somebody had really bad game management this weekend. Who was? Oh, it was the Cowboys. Because Peyton Manning was talking about it.
Yeah, even though they won the game, they had some poor clock management down the stretch. To answer your question, man, I had all but said I'm a big critic. I'm rooting for him at the same time too, but I'm a big critic of Lamar just because I want to see him do well. I think he turns the ball over too much. I said it last
That's
week. We could probably look up his interceptions. I guarantee you he's probably got the highest rate of interception rate outside of the kid in with the Jets because he's a rookie, but for a veteran, he's got probably the highest interception rate. Plus, he also will fumble on occasion. But he's trying to get, you know what I'm saying, to that. We all know he's in contract negotiations. He's trying to get to that Mahomes level, in between Mahomes and our homie from Buffalo. He's trying to get in somewhere in between there. But you kind of have to run a special kind of offense for Lamar. Again, he can pass it. He can throw it. Again, he also can turn it over. You know what I'm saying? They use him very smartly. They have a great running rushing attack where they utilize running back and him together. You know what I mean? It's beautiful. So there's a special way you kind of have to play with Lamar. So he did not have the best statistical game at all against Detroit. And I get it that they had 6 or 7 starters out. But again, MVP-level kind of guys, they don't necessarily, you know what I'm saying, you don't use those. And I'm not saying he did it, but you don't necessarily use those as an excuse. And the Ravens have, you know what I'm saying, aspirations to get to, you know what I'm saying, the AFC Championship game, if not to the Super Bowl, right? Again, like I said, I'm painting a picture. This dude wants upwards of $250 million. And, you know, you don't get that by choking it off, sorry, to the Detroit Lions, okay? So until the kicker came up there and hit some oh, my God. You said Vinatieri. I was like lining them up. I said, man, I ain't never seen a kicker. Prather, Gramatica, whoever, Janikowski. Vanderjagt, ain't nobody never hit nothing like that. I think the guy from the Raiders, he might have kicked a 56-yard, but again, nothing like what we saw. Again, Brandon, I had the tweet set because, like, dude, statistically, Lamar had a crappy game, and Jared Goff kind of had outdueled him. You know what I'm saying? I was like, man, they finally about to win this game, and they left too much time on the clock. And the kicker made, you know what I'm saying, probably the biggest kick I've ever seen in an NFL game. And, you know what I'm saying, I was ready to roar with the Lions. I'm not a Lions fan by any revenue or magic, but I was ready. I even hashtagged the roar sign, and it wasn't meant to be, man. I had to totally delete it and come up with another tweet, man. But,
damn.
Bad poor clock management. Again, man, nobody would kind of expect that. I'm not saying it was luck or anything like that. The guy's got a strong leg. If he ain't in the Pro Bowl already for special teams, that's a shame. You know what I'm saying? But I'm talking about this year's Pro Bowl. But again, man, great drama today. Great drama, dramatic into that game. You know what I'm saying? If you're a Ravens fan, you love it. But you kind of, again, you know what I'm saying, you have to kind of be concerned if you're a Ravens fan as well going further. But again, like I said, offensively, man, the Lions moved the ball defensively, and stopping the ball not so much. But mm-hmm. Wow, that's all I can say. Wow, was what a game. But those are the kind of things I kind of we got away from it after watching. Man, Detroit was right there getting their first win, and the Ravens were right there. You know what I'm saying, taking a bad loss. You know what I'm saying, where they had to.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So. Again, man, hopefully both teams kind of learn from it, you know what I'm saying, going further with, you know what I'm saying, who they play next. I think, you know what I'm saying, by no realm of the imagination do I think Detroit blows out Chicago. Chicago still has a pretty competent defense, you know what I mean, that where they can, you know, I think they'll at least intercept Jared Goff once for sure, you know what I'm saying. But, I don't know what the hell Matt Nagy's running over here. I don't think he knows what the hell he's running over here. I credit the Detroit, the Lions for winning the game this weekend.
Okay. Kansas City Chiefs, John. Chiefs lose to the Chargers.
Oh, my God.
My goodness. They are 1-2 in the AFC West. One thing I say, John, is this year the NFL games are so crazy that who's good, who's bad, I don't think really knows. Maybe I feel like in the NFL, except for maybe, and no, there's no consistency because the Bucs can look good and then they go to LA and just get thumped by the Rams. The Chiefs look good one week and then look like crap. I don't think there's any consistency right now in the NFL. And everybody puts out their rankings for the top 10. They ain't going. They're just going off of what was out there the last freaking week. You need to wait till about at least halfway through to see what each team is truly.
Right. You know
how much parity right now.
Right. Between Fox and I'm not picking on them. Between Fox and ESPN, they both had Green Bay in the top. They had Green Bay in the top five. And I'm like, did you watch them? Did you watch Green Bay against the Saints? You know what I'm saying? I honestly would. You know what I'm saying? As far as like a bounce back game. Or as far as seasons go, I know, man, I ain't about to sip the Dallas Cowboy Kool-Aid, but they're right there. Definitely in their division. They're at the top in their division, and one or two plays go their way, calls go their way against Tampa Bay. They win that game and they're undefeated. So how is Dallas not? I think both media companies had Dallas in the top 10, but not in the top 5. Again, you know what I'm saying? I would have Dallas in the top 5. How can you not have? I know you're gonna lose your mind. How can you not have the Raiders in the top 5? You know what I'm saying? They're undefeated. I get it. They kind of struggled. They went to an overtime game with the Dolphins. They needed, OT, you know what I'm saying, special teams come together and everything to get that win against the lowly Dolphins. But, again, they're undefeated. They went on the road. They've got road victories here, you know what I'm saying, against quality teams. So, again, man, power rankings mean very little at this point. You know what I'm saying? It's a 17-game season. You know what I'm saying? And then power rankings mean very little. But you kind of take some things away from what you kind of seen, from Tampa Bay and even from L.A., you know what I'm saying, as well. To go back to what we're talking about with Kansas City, dude, again, they have the ability to turn on a switch that can't nobody catch them, but they got to play with the lead. In a close game, they're gonna lose every close game that they play this year. They're gonna lose every close man.
They don't blow teams out.
Yeah, the Chargers could not. The Chargers are averaging like 17 points a game going into that.
They tried
game.
To give it away, John. That was bad. That was another one where it was bad time management. Why the hell would you try to score a touchdown there? And I didn't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, he's. I don't know. We got a first time head coach, and we, you know, saying Herbert. Yeah, Herbert. I mean, I'll take Herbert over what the Colts got right now. Right? You know, saying, as far as quarterback, as far as quarterback. But again, you know, saying they kind of struggled to get into the end zone the last couple of weeks, and then against the Chiefs, it wasn't a struggle at all.
Right.
But again, man, in a close game, any close game that anybody with an elite level quarterback is going to chop them. It's going to, you know what I'm saying, eat them for lunch. So if they got to play the Buffalo Bills, if they got to play Lamar again, if they got to play Green Bay again, I know some necessarily have their schedule in front of me, man. You can almost say that. I mean, if you're better, stay away from that game. But you know what I'm saying, if you're just a fan of it, man, you're gonna be biting your nails because their secondary cannot cover at all.
Right. Yeah. So we'll see. Chiefs secondary is a struggle. Their offense, they'll be fine. They're still going to be, I still think they're the best team in the AFC when it comes to, comes down to the end. I know we didn't expect them to be undefeated. I only expect them to go 15-2. So they can't lose another game the rest of the way. If,
Hall of Famer, Patty Mahomes kind of thought about that. Right. They're going to get a little bit better offensively. Right, they picked up Josh. If they can give Josh Gordon stay off the weed or stay out of whatever issues he might have,
stay off the weed.
with a couple teams.
Thanks, Stephen A.
Didn't the Panthers just trade for they were getting that type of market, looking for some help in the secondary. But they have, dude, I don't know. I mean, I don't think they play them in the regular season. But if they had to play today, either Tampa Bay or the Rams, like I would favor NFC winning that contest.
Okay. Next one I want to move to real quick to finish up NFL. Let's go. We're going to hear that one more time this weekend. One of the games I'm looking forward to this week. Can't wait. Sunday Night Football. Where is it at? Hit me with it. Can't wait. Super Bowl champion Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers heading back to Foxborough to take on their New England Patriots, a 1-2 Patriots team. All the drama is starting to come out now between the Patriots with Belichick and Brady. They're saying the right things, but I just pre-ordered a book today that's coming out next month that goes over the Belichick, Brady, and Kraft era, and a lot of dirty stories from stuff that came out since then, how Brady wanted to meet with Bill after the season to kind of talk, and Bill said, nope, I ain't meeting yet. We'll talk on the phone. That the two couldn't get along towards the end of their career together. But Tom Brady and the Bucs are heading to New England this weekend, John, against Foxborough. I can't wait. I cannot wait for Tom Terrific to go up there.
Right, and him coming off a loss, it'll fuel even more of his fire.
And he's going to set the record up there.
Oh, man. I don't know about that, man. Bill Belichick still a defensive mind.
He only needs 64 yards.
Oh, you mean that record? I thought you meant some other record by like.
No. He just needs 64 yards for the all-time passing record.
I got you. Well, we'll see. I'm sure. Yeah, that's something that can kind of easily happen. But Mac Jones, New England Patriots quarterback playing. You know what I'm saying? He's not necessarily hit a rookie wall just yet, but he's not necessarily playing, great just yet either. I got to take, there's no way that you take anybody but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in this particular game. Will they, show some things? Does Belichick know some things about Tom Brady? You know what I'm saying? Kind of expose him. You know what I'm saying? Does he get sacked? You know what I'm saying? That type of thing. You know what I'm saying? How many times? I think that kind of plays out as well. But again, they got too much talent level on the sides of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Even if AB doesn't play, they'll coast against the New England Patriots this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to see Brady and them go up there and just light it up, torch them, upset little Bill Belichick a little bit more. All right, John, that's enough of our NFL talk. We're going to hit quick ad reads. When we come back from ad reads, we're going to dive right into the college football world.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. For the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created and dreams born. Specialize in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshot, jeeps, trucks, and more, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. They ship worldwide, custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessory installs, LED lightings, custom wheels, carry all the top brands, and more. Check them out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com, or give them a call, 833-SHOT-MAV. That's 833-746-7628. Let them know that Crossroads sent you. All right, John, we are back. Thank you to our sponsors, Maverick Custom Motorsports and Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. Diving in. College football. I can only play so many seconds before we get a copyright. So, college football. Big games this past weekend, John. Our pick'ems, which I haven't heard from Tanner today. I don't know if he's asleep, if he's in jail or whatnot. I haven't heard from him, but our pick'em last week, I rebounded from a horrific 2-7. I had the best record this week at 6-3. Moved back up to 19-7 overall. Tanner's 19-17. John, you went 5-4 last week. You're 21-15, a two-game lead. I cut in that two-game lead. That three-game lead, too, but you are back now leading still by two games going into this week. Looking ahead, John, just kind of previewing this past week we just had, Notre Dame 41, Wisconsin 13. Notre Dame had a blow-up fourth quarter of scoring like crazy on Wisconsin. I said last week on games I liked, I said I liked Notre Dame plus the 6.5. I liked Notre Dame money line. I told people to put money on it. I hope you guys did. If you did, cheers to you. You won just like I did. But Notre Dame looked great last week when they needed to. Jack Cohn was hurt late in the game, but it looks like he'll be ready this week. But Notre Dame, big win against Wisconsin. Wisconsin, not as good as we thought?
I can't say that. I think they're a product of who they, you know, who they've kind of matched up with against, man. So there was a titanic battle they had against Penn State earlier in this season, then playing against Notre Dame, maybe kind of expose them, their secondary down the field, you know what I'm saying, how their pass coverage, you know what I mean. I'm high on Jack. Yeah, as you know what I mean, I'm high on Jack. The game was still technically still tied at halftime, I thought, if I do believe, but Notre Dame blows it open in the second half. I don't know. I don't think necessarily we can just put dirt on the Wisconsin team just yet. I still think they got a couple more games, surprise games that they'll win. And I know we get to this when we start doing pickles. I'll expand on that a little bit later.
Yeah, absolutely. I was shocked, and I believe it was tied at halftime when those two in their game up there at Soldier Field, and then the fourth quarter is interception. Wisconsin scored a touchdown, I believe, and then there was a run back by Notre Dame on the kickoff, and then two pick sixes. That'll kind of that'll end it for you. Purdue beats Illinois in a grind them out game. We didn't win that bet. We lost our Purdue bet. Purdue didn't cover the 11 points against Illinois, but they grinded out one there. Right. I don't have too much to say about that game. It was kind of an ugly game to see.
It's a hard game. This is hard. It's hard for them to overcome some of the injuries they have. They lost their running back for a number, if not for the season, for a number of games. lost Bell to concussion protocol. There's another kid. I do believe in concussion protocols again. So tough win for the Boilermakers. Their availability, the player, their key player, I won't necessarily say, and their star player, Bell, key player availability is going to be what kind of determines the rest of their season, to be honest with you. So this was a bounce back year, supposedly for, to get back into, get some wins and potentially get into a bowl game for the Boilermakers, but it's hard to do that when you, like I said, when your key players aren't available.
Yeah, absolutely. IU wins a close one down in Western Kentucky, 33-31 over the Hilltoppers. My goodness, John, we said that was a game you could not lose. They tried to.
Right. Yeah. Coach gave Michael Penix Jr. The game ball afterwards. I don't know. He should have probably gave it to the kicker. Because he's the one actually, kick the field goals, keep them in pace with Western
right.
Kentucky. Western Kentucky is one of those teams that we're probably going to hear a little bit more about as they get into their own conference play. I know that game was at home for them, but I don't know. A couple whistles go a different way, they win that game, and IU still in spinning and damage control. So, but I think we're here. I'm not talking about they're gonna get automatically ranked anytime soon. But as far as like, but when bowl season comes around, we'll be hearing more about Western Michigan. And if you bet against them, you might be throwing your money away.
Okay. Toledo beat Ball State pretty easily. I took Toledo in that game. Ball State's just not. I said show me something. They didn't show me anything. So now I'll kind of give you a preview of where I'm going this week when we do our picks.
Oh, man.
Just not looking. Didn't look good up there in Funcy this past weekend there. Shout out the women's basketball team, 2008. They honored them in the Hall of Fame this past weekend. I worked very closely with them my final senior year up there at Ball State. That's the year they also went and took on Pat Summit in Tennessee in the first round of the NCAA tournament and beat them. So it was good to see all those the old former players up there this weekend. I still talked to a few of them online occasionally. Also, it was great to see Nate Davis, the star quarterback for Ball State, during that 2008 season where they went 13-0, nationally ranked inside the top 12. He got entered into the Ball State Hall of Fame. So shout out Nate Davis as well. Getting in there, it's good to see that. John, I've never done it for a college team, but.
Oh, man.
I never thought that a coach could be higher, think he's bigger than the program. But, John, Dabo Swinney. And Clemson Tigers are dead. The season is over.
Whoa.
The season is over for the Clemson Tigers.
That was a good game.
But it was.
NC State's unranked. And there's the level of expectations for Clemson is that you handle your business and you put the distance between it and the game. You put this between you and NC State, and that never did happen. Desmond Howard, I thought he was crazy when he said he put them on game day, when he put Clemson on upset alert against NC State. But he wasn't. He's not. Shout out to Desmond Howard for schooling me. They can't block. They can't run the ball.
Quarterback play sucks.
That's because they can't block.
John, he's thrown one touchdown all season.
I get it, but again, they don't have the running game. The running game went down in Jacksonville now with the Jaguars, and like I said,
on the sideline.
Offensive line play is null and void in Clemson. I don't want to put the bagpipes on them just yet, Brandon. As far as them jumping back up into the top 10, that's not gonna happen.
Dabo's making TikToks now. It's over. It is over. He's making TikToks.
So you saying the preview? You saying Boston College is going to beat them in Clemson?
Not this week.
Oh, okay.
But them making the playoffs, it is a wrap.
Well, here's what here's what I find. I mean, I know here's what I discover, man, and I know some of our Alabama listeners are probably tuning up their antennas. Alabama folks love it when Clemson loses because that's the only team that they're afraid of. kind of like the Bears and their fear of Aaron Rodgers. Like Aaron Rodgers, they'll be in a tight game. They'll be in a super tight game, and Aaron Rodgers comes out there and says, "Oh yeah, I'm about to handle some business right now." But like, no, man, Clemson Tigers. I think they get somewhere back into the top 15. No way do they fall out of the top 25.
Clemson Tigers, dead. Dabo said, you know what? This is a down season. I have a quarterback that's only thrown one touchdown in 4 weeks. We're gonna go ahead and just make TikTok. I love the TikTok video of him in the jet with Ugalele saying, hey, right down there is where we're going to be throwing all the touchdowns. And then it comes up and says, he's thrown one touchdown all season long. So, Clemson's dead this year, in my opinion. They are dead. Season's over. It's a wrap. They may win the ACC just by knocking off North Carolina at the end in the title game. But, hey, you win ACC championship, you go to the, what, you go to the Peach Bowl maybe, and you take your 17th ranked overall record. So.
Oh, man.
Sorry, that might be another fan base on my ass here soon. I don't know. So, but we'll see.
If ACC is out, then can we say that the Big 12 is automatically in there?
They're definitely playing their way in.
Well, do you?
So is the Pac-12. Oregon.
Oregon, yeah. But how much do you still have faith in Oklahoma?
To be in the top four, a lot more than them winning it.
Okay. But understand that Baylor, and I think who else is pretty strong? Oklahoma State. They play Oklahoma. I believe
every year. It's the Battle of Stillwater. Yeah, Bedlam.
And then Texas is in there somewhere. So somebody, I don't think Oklahoma leaves the Big 12 unscathed.
Okay.
And that might, depending upon who they play, that might pull them down too, wouldn't it? That's all I'm saying. If they, Baylor's right now is unranked, I do believe. Uh-oh. More bagpipes.
This might be a record of the number of bagpipes we've had on the show. And this is not even for Scott Frost in Nebraska. It's not for them.
Dude.
You're off the hook. Texas A&M. Bad loss at home, and you had everything this season looking your way. To take on a home against Alabama. Maybe you'll nut up and play them and maybe beat them as a chance. But you just lost, and taking no credit away from Arkansas. Arkansas played a great football team. Game, Arkansas is looking great this year. Arkansas knocks off Texas A&M at Arkansas. John, I put some money on Arkansas this past weekend. I thought they could do it, and shockingly, they did. I took the spread. I should have took the money line.
Arkansas is for real to the point that I took them over Georgia this weekend.
I saw it. I saw your early pick. So, Hey, folks, come Monday, come next week's show. We may have to do this for Jonathan's picks.
Stop it.
Texas A&M, you had it. You had your shot. You lost it. You blew it. John, Oklahoma survived that scare. They beat West Virginia at the end, 16-13. West Virginia was going to be a tough game. Always going to be tough when you're playing out there in West Virginia. I think it was at West Virginia, wasn't it? I didn't watch any of the game, but I saw highlights.
It was out there.
Always gonna be tough out there. But hey, they pull it off. I know people were booing Spencer Rattler, but he came back in and let him on that drive. And it was in Oklahoma. The fans were booing him, and he went five of six in the final drive for 60-some yards to lead that thing. So the question is, and I've been hearing on some sports talk, John, is are we really seeing that maybe Lincoln Riley is only good when he gets transfer quarterbacks in? He's not good at developing his own?
Oh, man, I don't – the defense, it's still the defense. You know what I'm saying? For he's an offensively gifted-minded kind of coach, man, and that's kind of what the strength of the team is. They have gotten better defensively. But again, I don't necessarily think he's. I mean, I know this. I'm talking philosophy now. I don't necessarily think he's prepared his team to be in this position. They have a target on their back, right? Preseason, everybody had them playing in one of the playoff games, right? So how much, you know what I'm saying? So now you have you got the best. You're getting everybody's best punch. They got Nebraska. They went on the road, and Nebraska, you know what I'm saying, did everything they could do to trip over themselves, right? But they gave Nebraska. That was the best game Nebraska played. I would say. Well, no. Yeah. I would say Nebraska played. I would say Nebraska played a better game against Michigan State because that's an interconference opponent. But as far as like
Michigan State's fans, looking good, surprisingly.
Yeah. Right. But I don't know, man. I don't think he's necessarily prepared his team to deal with this. Like I said, deal with this moment. Now they have a target on their back. The Baylors of the world, the Texas of the world, who try to score 80 and still couldn't get in the top 25. Sorry, UT fans. They want to knock off them so that they can say, hey, look at us, look at our program and how that impacts for recruiting, how that impacts for, you know what I'm saying, placement in the AP top 25. So I'm not rooting against the Oklahoma Sooners. Don't necessarily think they. Going further, I don't necessarily think they come out of the Big 12 unscathed without a loss.
Okay. I've got on our Facebook live feed right now, I've got our Crossroads Sports top 10 rankings after week number 4. Top 3 picks for me, John, do not change: Alabama, Georgia, and Oklahoma. Alabama and Georgia stay 1 and 2 for you. Oregon jumps up to the number 3 spot for you. You dropped Iowa down to number 4. We both moved Penn State up to our 5th-ranked team. I've got Oregon at number 4 on mine. You're a little higher on Iowa. Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, I moved them from 9 to 7 after their big win. You moved them from not being ranked to ranked. You're still keeping Ohio State up there. You got Ohio State at 7 where they were at last week. I don't have Ohio State currently in my top 10 right now. I have added Arkansas to my rankings at number 9. I got Cincinnati at 8, Arkansas at number 9, newly in. You've got Arkansas at number 10, and you've got Cincinnati staying in the number 9 spot there. And then let me see real quick where is what I need. And then in my number 10 spot, just because I have to this week, you hear that? It's coming through, baby. It's the Lane Train. I got Ole Miss number 10 right now in my rankings. Ole Miss, the Lane Train, they had a week off. Hey, this team is looking good. They're going to take on the Alabama Crimson Tide. Lane Train's got everybody going against them. That scumbag Mike Wilbon, who maybe watches or two college football games a year, talking out his ass on PTI the other night. And then Lane chirps him back on his Twitter account. I mean, hey, you know what? Kiffin and them, this is it. They hung in with Alabama last year. They lost, I think, by 8 or so. They can hang in with this team. We talked about, John, how Alabama is vulnerable. How Lane Kiffin knows, even though he's been gone there for some time, he knows what to expect with this Alabama team, even though some of the players have changed. Right now, John, if I were to ask you, who do you believe, if you go to the sports books, who's right now the number one Heisman candidate? Would you say Bryce Young? Would you say he has the best odds to win the Heisman?
Yes.
Well, I'd like to tell you, you're wrong. He's number 2.
Uh-oh.
Right now, Matt Corral from Ole Miss is the number 1 leader right now who they believe in the sports books is going to win the Heisman Trophy. If the sports books are saying that, this kid is something special. And you know what?
Right.
Damn it, I hope they do it this weekend. I really, really do.
Well, I don't know, man. Alabama's a machine. I think it's going to be a whole lot closer. It'll kind of play out potentially kind of like how the Florida game played out. We're going to hope that Lane Kiffin has a little bit more insider information since he's worked, you know what I'm saying, for a time as an assistant with Alabama. At some point, at some point, you want to see Lane Kiffin ascend to the position, the potential that he showed when he was at Tennessee, when he was at with the Raiders, when he was with USC. You want to see him, get over that, that hump, I guess, ultimately. So this, what better way to do it this weekend against Alabama? But he does have a very talented team. Defensively, neither one of them going to, knock his socks off in this game, I don't think. If he gets the lead, he better hold on to it and play some stall ball, do some clock management, all the things that we kind of said the pros needed to do in the last segment. So I'll be watching for sure. I just don't think necessarily – I mean, if you're going to ask me what my pick is, I'm still going to take Alabama just because Nick Saban will lose his mind at halftime if they're only winning by five. Or down by five. Lord help the kids in the locker room. They're down by five, right?
But how this is going to go.
Go ahead.
I think this game is going to go one of two ways. Either A, Ole Miss is going to get the ball to start the game, and they're going to need to score first. If they can score first, get the ball, score first, set the tone, this is going to be a barn burner of a game. But if they get the ball first, don't score, John, and they go to punt. Say it's three and out, or even you run five plays, six plays, and you punt. And Alabama goes right down and scores. Into the first quarter, it could be Alabama 28 and maybe Ole Miss 7. I mean, it could get out of hand early. That's why I think Ole Miss and them, they need to get the ball, and they need to score first. If there's odds on that, a prop bet you can put for Ole Miss to get the ball first and score, I'm going to put some money on it because that's the best way that they're going to win this game is they have to get the kickoff and score first. Remember that.
I'll leave the sports betting up to you, man. So we'll see. It's probably going to be the best game on this weekend.
Going into our picks, we don't have Tanner's picks yet. We'll add those later in the week. Number eight, Arkansas going to number two between the hedges, Sanford Stadium, taking on number two, Georgia. Georgia right now is 18.5-point favorites. John, I want to believe in this Arkansas team. 18.5 against number 8 team. Are they a fraud or not? I'm going to take Arkansas with the points. I think Georgia wins, but I think Arkansas can keep it within two touchdowns.
Yeah, my pick was Arkansas. I don't know how they come up with that 18. After seeing what Arkansas did the last couple weeks against Texas, after seeing what they did against who they just played last weekend. Against Texas A&M. I know Texas A&M, the quarterback, not necessarily up to par, but you still have to believe in, the dynamics of what they offensively do. And they have belief in their coach and their system. They got the ponies to do it, to defend and speed and all those things, man. So I know Georgia is a different animal. I know Georgia has looking at Arkansas another win, because ultimately they want to play Alabama in the SEC championship game, right? And they don't want to go with any losses, right? But this is on my upset alert. I think Arkansas got the mojo to upset them. I know that's a tall order, upsetting anybody at home. Going into somebody's home, but I think they got the mojo. We have seen Georgia struggle sometimes with scoring through the course of this season. So I still think the world of Georgia as well as a team. I think they'll still be in there in the talks to making the playoffs at some point or contention for the SEC championship game. I just like Arkansas in this game, and that's why I took Arkansas.
Okay. We've got looks like we're going to get Tanner in about 10 minutes, I think. So he'll be joining us in 10 with his picks. Number 14, Michigan at Wisconsin. John, from what I posted on here, I'm changing my pick. Wisconsin's a 2.5-point favorite at home against Michigan this week. I had Michigan. I crossed it out. I'm going Wisconsin. Wisconsin to have a better game this week. Just looking at Michigan, yeah, Michigan looks sexy. They're playing okay. John, they really haven't played anybody. I mean, let's look at really who they've played. They've played some piss poor teams. They last week they played was who they played last week? Western? Was that who they played?
No, they didn't have that much.
They
played Rutgers.
They only had like a 200 yards of offense total against Rutgers.
Right.
I took Rutgers to cover and they did last week, but I don't know. Wisconsin at home, can't Randall. I don't see Wisconsin losing two straight like that. If I'm just giving up 2.5 points, I don't have to give up a complete field goal in this game.
Right.
I think Wisconsin gets it done. I'm making my switch.
Yeah. I took Michigan. I don't – it's not to knock on Wisconsin. Again, I think – I don't like – his you're going to learn about me, Brad. I don't like picking two upsets in a week. Right, so it was either Arkansas or Georgia, pick that as an upset, or pick Wisconsin to upset Michigan. I still think Michigan is pretty strong. They necessarily haven't necessarily played teams that kind of they can line up to them like starter for starter. Once the bench starts unloading, you know what I'm saying, they haven't necessarily played that type of schedule. When they play Rutgers, they play, you know what I'm saying, again, Rutgers basically this past weekend put everybody, this is in the middle pack of the Big Ten, the IUs, the Purdue's, the Northwesterns of the world, put them on, and Maryland, put them on notice, man, because Rutgers is not necessarily this year going to be a doormat at all for anybody, you know what I'm saying? So they're going to be a tough out for an elite-level team, and they're going to be, like, if you're playing them at home, like, you better put your chin strap on, right? I'm still going to go with Michigan. Michigan's able to run the ball better than anybody. I feel like they're the top four in running the ball this particular year. Quarterback play is still, again, man, you would think Jim Harbaugh, you know what I'm saying, would have some elite-level quarterback play in Michigan, but that hasn't necessarily happened just yet, right? If it ain't happened just yet, it still ain't going to happen, right? But, again, defensively they've held teams, I think, like under 20 or something like some kind of crazy, maybe 17. I can't remember. I don't, again. But they've held teams in check. How about that? And Wisconsin's going to be a black and blue game. It's going to be a rock fight. You know what I'm saying? Wisconsin's, you know what I'm saying, they're piss and vinegar type of team. Don't want to get embarrassed. I see why the line is only 2.5. I still edge Michigan. I think Michigan has – I mean, it's offensive mind of the game. I think Michigan wins the game.
Okay. Number 9, Cincinnati at number 7, Notre Dame. The line is Cincinnati minus 2.5 on the road at Notre Dame. This smells like a rat. This line just smells like a rat. Why – Notre Dame's ranked better. I think they're the better team, and yet they're the underdog. If I'm getting points for Notre Dame at home against Cincinnati, who, you know, is not in a big conference now, we'll go ahead and say it for now. Give me Notre Dame and the 2.5 points. It's actually down to 1.5 now, but since we started doing our picks here, we're going to get it at 2.5. I like Notre Dame at home to beat Cincinnati. I like the 2.5 points and call it deja vu, people. I like the points and the money line again with Notre Dame this week.
The only reason I can come up with why that is where it is, Brandon, is because Cincinnati's coming off a bye week.
I don't think it's that. I think it's more of the quarterback play for Notre Dame. They don't know who was going to be.
Well,
Cohen was hurt. I think he's playing.
I think he's playing. When I look at Cincinnati's past couple games, they don't necessarily get it after it. Like sack wise, they don't necessarily get after quarterback like that. I think they've registered like 4 sacks. Again, the season's kind of early, but they've only registered like 4 sacks. They're an offensive minded team. They're not a defensive minded team. Offensively, Brandon, they can compete with anybody not named Ohio State or Alabama. Okay, anybody, any Georgia, Clemson, you name them, anybody not named Ohio State or Alabama. They can compete with them offensively. Defensively, they give up just about – they almost give about as many points as they score. If anybody remembers the IU game, right? And Michael Penix turning the ball over. That's what kind of helped Cincinnati win the game. Not necessarily anything that their defense did from a pressure type of situation. You know what I mean? I don't think they sacked Penix Jr. Maybe I don't think they sacked him at all. But regardless of that all being said, this particular game. Man, Brandon, I think I put my pick out there that I went with the Bearcats, man. It's at home. It's at South Bend.
Isn't it tricky? It's a weird line. That's why I was so confused by it.
Just because, like I said, man, they can score with anybody. Not necessarily they don't have to be at home to put up 30.
Desmond Ritter is number 3 in Heisman, by the way. If you look, it's Matt Corral, Bryce Young, and then Corral here to give you a breakdown. Corral's plus 150, mm-hmm. Bryce Young's plus 180. And then Desmond Ritter, who's the third best to win the Heisman, is at plus 1,500. So the first two guys have a very solid edge over Ritter. But I just thought this line was so weird. It's so weird. I'm going to go with Notre Dame. I'm not going to be too cute with it.
I'm going to give my pick, but I also want to say this. I'm going to go with Notre Dame, so I'm going to change my pick from what I said on Facebook to go with Notre Dame. I will say this. If Notre Dame gets this win, they'll probably jump up, shouldn't they? You got them picked. You got them
yeah,
seven.
Yes.
I don't know where the AP poll has them just yet. I think they jump up to at least. They would, in all fairness, they should jump up to at least top 6, if not 5.
This is not. Yeah, they will. This is number 7 versus number 8.
Yeah, but the messed up thing about it is, Brandon, if Cincinnati wins, they'll just jump up one spot. They will. And that's kind of unfair to Cincinnati because like it's like the gatekeeper trying to keep them out of the championship game, out of one of the championship games. But go ahead.
Isn't Ohio State probably the biggest Cincinnati fans this weekend?
for sure. Because they need Notre Dame to lose because they have their one loss. But here's the thing though. If Notre Dame takes this loss, do they have enough to jump back up into?
I don't think so.
Playing USC, playing Stanford, playing
Stanford just lost
North
another
Carolina.
Bad game.
They need North Carolina. Then they become the North Carolina fans.
They need them to get ranked.
North Carolina's still ranked. I thought they were like 23 or 22.
They'll be right higher than that.
Well, yeah, they do to jump back up here and there, yeah. So, but like, nah, I'm, you know what I'm saying, all fogginess aside, I'm taking Notre Dame to win the game.
Okay. We'll bring our guy on here, Tanner Penrod. I know you're working, my man. I appreciate you coming on real quick for us. I hear the phone ringing
in
the background. We've gone through and did 3 picks already. We'll get your pick for these 3 games, and we'll move right along. Number 8, actually, first off, Tanner, I want to talk to you real quick on some games I liked for this week.
Yeah, go ahead.
I said last week I liked Notre Dame, the spread, and I liked the Notre Dame money line. It paid off last week against Wisconsin, so I really, really enjoyed that. So much that Notre Dame being an underdog at home against Cincinnati, I'm going to take the points and sprinkle more money line on Notre Dame this weekend against Cincinnati.
Hey, I like that. Hey, good hit last week on that. I kind of doubted my own team that I liked, and they actually looked really good from what I watched on there. I wasn't able to catch the whole game, but caught most of it. They looked really good on that defensive end. I didn't know they were going to be that good. And I was doing a little research on myself, and I like a home team getting points as one of the guys. Nothing better than that. So I'm going to agree with you. I like Notre Dame catching the 2.5. And you know what? I think they could win that. I think it's going to be a tight game all the way through. I think it's definitely decided by a field goal or less in that game. And if Notre Dame has the ball last, I think they could send all those fans home with a crazy win, and it should be one heck of a game on Saturday.
Yeah, another game I like, Tanner. I like a couple of them on this board. I really like the card this week. Cover your ears, Ball State fans. Army. I got him at -7 yesterday before it jumped to -7.5. Ball State hasn't showed me anything. They're a dead dog. Give me Army against the Cardinals. I really like that game this week. I like Penn State just putting a beat down at home against the Hoosiers. They're out to kick their ass and fix what happened last year. 12.5 right now is the spread, a weird 12.5. If I'm still getting it within a football number of 14, I'll take it.
Oh, man, that – When you sent it out, it's jumped up to 12.5 in that Hoosier game.
Yeah.
Yeah, people all – I liked it when I saw it at 10.5, but I think – I mean, I don't see a difference between 10.5 and 12.5 because you're still going to need that field goal in there. So 13, I mean, you're expecting them to win by 13 there. I like it too. I think Penn State's looked really good the last few weeks. They got that good win at Wisconsin, and they've just been steamrolling teams since then. And I don't know, IU barely getting by against Western Kentucky. That's scary, even though it was on the road, barely getting by there. I think IU rolling in and over there to Happy Valley, not going to be a pleasant sighting for the Hoosiers. I see them getting beat by 2 touchdowns for sure. Give me Nittany Lions.
I like Oregon -8 at Stanford this week. I like the Ducks to continue to roll. Stanford, besides that one game they played, they haven't showed me shit this season. I like Oregon to cover that. Another one I like is I like LSU, as ugly as it is. I like LSU at home against Auburn. Auburn barely beat Georgia State this past weekend.
They're done. Yeah.
I like that. Me and Jonathan were talking. It was one of our picks. I switched it. I love Wisconsin over Michigan with -2.5 over Michigan. I like it. Michigan hasn't played anybody. They only had 200 yards of offense last week against Rutgers. I picked Rutgers to cover that, and they did. But I'm not a big fan of it. I don't see it, and I'm just not about it at all.
I see an ugly game. I don't think it's going to be high scoring in that game. I'd probably take the under. And I just don't see them putting up points in that game either. I'll take
under 43.5.
I knew it couldn't have been high. And I could see it being like 19-16, something like that.
Just
final.
An ugly game.
Wisconsin. Yeah. Going to be one in the trenches. Definitely old school ground and pound. Big Ten football. I'll go there, and I'm going to touch base with you again, and I'm going to fade the Cardinals too. I know you touched quickly on it. Cardinals, I can't trust them right now. They had supposed to be all these players back, and I don't know what happened to Mike New and that team, but they haven't impressed me at all, and I'm kind of upset about that with all these players coming back, and I don't know if they got a big head, but they haven't shown me a lick yet.
Yep. So going into our picks, we've already made our picks. We've both taken Arkansas to cover the 18.5 on the road at Georgia. Who do you like?
Told you last week when I got on the Arkansas last week down there in Jerry's World, I said, hey, they're going to look pretty good. 18.5 is way too many. I think they're playing really good, especially beating A&M right there. Not only did they – I think with that win, they're going to go in there to Athens, play really hard. It's going to be a great game, I think. But 18.5 is way too many. They're Georgia's good, but I don't know if they're that good. So, yeah, give me those Razorbacks and the points for sure in that game.
Okay. I switched my pick and took Wisconsin. Jonathan took Michigan. You said already you're taking the Badgers as well. So we're good there. Cincinnati, Notre Dame. I was on Notre Dame. Jonathan's on Notre Dame, and it sounds like you're on Notre Dame as well. So it's a clean sweep there. The next one, boys. Let me get it ready for us. Hold on a second. I don't know if you hear that coming down the tracks. It's a roaring. Chicka, 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 chicka.
I hope to God you take them so I can just hit you with a Lee Corso real quick.
I'm taking Ole Miss and Lane Train. They're going to be ready. They're going to come prepared. They got all they got all the nonsense they're talking with. Michael Wilbon talking out his ass on PTI about, who is Lane Kiffin? Who is Lane Kiffin? Wilbon, you watch maybe 2 games of college the entire season, and that's because you have to. And then you watch maybe the college football playoff, and you call yourself an analyst. Get the hell off PTI. That's why it's the 9th-rated show on ESPN right now, all right? Give me Lane
Train. That show's terrible.
Give me Ole Miss to cover the 14.5. And I said this, Tanner. I told Jonathan this earlier. This game's going to go one of 2 ways. It needs to get the ball and score first. If they do that, it's going to be a game. But if not, and Alabama scores on that first possession, we could be in some trouble.
Oh, man. Golly. I know you're going that way. I'll take Bama all day. Give me that first half bet, too. Don't even know what it is yet, but I'm rolling every bankroll I've made off the first four. Bama in that first half. They're going to come out there, and I just think he's going to be in there. I think
it covered last week. They scored a touchdown on the opening kickoff.
Who did?
Alabama. It was a run back on the opening kickoff for a touchdown.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was 21-0, and then I saw it was 35-7. I said, that's a cover. Check. And just go ahead and tally that up. That's the God-given pick. So if it's 14.5, I think probably that first half line is probably going to be like 9. If it's under 10, I'll take it. I think I'm going to go Bama, but I think if I could see a backdoor cover written all over this for Ole Miss, L Trace.
Just like last week. Or last year,
I can see a backdoor cover. I'm going to go Bama, but definitely give me first half if it's under 10.
Over-under, I think, is 74.5 right now. I think it's 74.5 for this game. No, excuse me, 77.5. It was 50-something to 50-something last year, so it got over 100 points last year.
Yeah.
So, Jonathan, your pick.
Go ahead.
My pick for which game?
Alabama, Ole Miss.
I told you I'm picking Alabama.
Attaboy. Attaboy.
That train is going down the tracks, boys. I'm just telling you. You better hop on. You get ran over.
You better watch out. Just go do some research on what Nick Saban does to his assistant coaches.
Hey, I'm just trying to get Kiffin on this show. I'm trying to be good with him to get him on here. I think he'll come on.
Well, then we better get some girls on here.
Hey, I said, I don't know if Kiffin will ever leave down there because he's a big fish in a small pond, and he likes it down there.
I love it. Oh, so, man.
Well, I don't know. One of the Florida jobs come open, he'll take it.
Oh.
Well, it ain't going to be Dan Mullen, so I think it might be the other one.
Right.
IU at Penn State. You've got my pick. You've got Tanner's pick of Penn State. Jonathan, I don't have your pick for this game. 10.5, up to 11.
Shouldn't the bet really be how many turnovers, how many interceptions Michael Penix Jr. is going to throw? Can he keep it under
100%?
Can he keep it under 3? I think he keeps it under 3.
Penn State's defense is good, and that middle linebacker's play. I know he got kicked out a couple of games for some hits, but if he plays, they're in trouble.
Yeah, I don't think they got a bad taste in the mouth from last year. Penn State does. We've seen what a whiteout did. When they played, like I said, when they played Auburn, Penn State is on a mission to stay in the top four till they play, you know what I'm saying, one of the upper level elite Big Ten teams, whether that be a date with Michigan or a date with Ohio State, which I know is coming up. Until that time, I think they stay pretty clean. They'll beat IU handedly.
Okay.
Yep.
So,
I agree.
All three of us are on Penn State there. Minnesota at Purdue. I'm on Purdue. Jonathan's on Minnesota to cover. And you're taking Minnesota to cover this, John. I don't know what the hell why, because they got their ass beat by Bowling Green last week. And Bowling Green is terrible.
I'm going to tell him he's got – because that's why you take Minnesota, because they got something to prove. They got embarrassed. They're not
they
going to go out there and lay an egg.
Right. Bowling Green.
That boat sank last week. We ain't rowing any
Bowling
boat.
Green's
We're trying to not drown.
Bowling Green's got a good defense, though. Offense, they're a bit challenged. I think Purdue's got too much out, man. That's why I went.
Yeah, is Bell still out?
I think so. And Horvath's out,
I made my
too.
Pick, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, they've got too much out right now. And like what I saw of them against Illinois, if Illinois could have got into the end zone, they would have won that game. That's kind of how bad they played. So I think the Golden Gophers got enough to beat Purdue, unfortunately.
Okay. And I got Tanner from Minnesota as well in that one. So
yeah,
Go ahead.
Yeah, do you know if Bell's out? I didn't get that in time. Is Bell still out?
I believe
Purdue?
He is. Still, one more week.
Yeah, give me Minnesota. I told you last week when I told that buddy I'm not even going to name drop because I told him his name will never come out of my mouth if Purdue didn't cover. He showed up back into my restaurant, and I referred to him as Pezzet because I told him I wasn't going to call him by name anymore. So, yeah, I'm rolling with the Gophers for sure. I'm not taking another chance on Purdue.
Okay, and last game I've got, we've got Army -7.5 at Ball State. Jonathan took Ball State. I said, I'm taking Army. And I said, Ball State, show me something last week. They didn't show me something. I'm going to go ahead and say it again. Ball State, show me something this week. I'm taking Army.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead with Ball State, too. I mean, with Army. And then they haven't shown me anything. Give me Army. Give me all those guys.
Okay.
Man, Army,
all
can't
right.
Army can't pass. They can't pass.
They don't need to pass.
Army has beaten. Here's the strength of tickets. Army has beaten like countless like last two seasons. They beat like they put a effort to showcase that they can beat the MAC. So I think hell they just beat Miami, Ohio. I do believe last week. So I'm still going with Ball State. I know Ball State's offense is kind of putrid. That's kind of where their struggles kind of rely on some of the magic they had last year. Is that hasn't necessarily correlated this particular year, but I think they get back to at least a win column against Army. That's why I took Ball State. Like I said, they have no offense in the air whatsoever, so you know what's coming. They have
Listen,
nothing but
John,
running back. Yeah.
It don't matter if it's Army. It doesn't matter if it's Navy.
Oh.
It doesn't matter if it's Air Force. It doesn't matter if it's a National Guard of Indiana coming to play them. We're taking an L against the military.
Yeah, I was trying to go to the homecoming this year and have a winning team, and now I think I might just pass.
We're considering going. I think we're supposed to go.
Okay.
We're supposed to go here in a couple of weeks, whenever it is. So we're supposed to meet up with our
Let
guys from Ball State Golf, too, Coach Fleck.
Okay.
So we'll definitely let you know on that.
Keep me posted. I'll get a Ball State reunion. I'll show face up there.
Okay. Me and Tanner both 19-7. Jonathan 21-15. We're two games back. We're catching them. So, Tanner, as always, thanks for joining my guy. And have a great week and good luck on your pick.
Always a pleasure. Hey, I saw this and I know he had a little brief little text. Bulls, baby. Bulls over Pacers. Just go ahead and print that ticket. Print it.
Hey, I believe it. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, yeah,
take
your
coach is
already out there hiding injuries. Gotta go.
The coach is already out there hiding injury. I love it. Oh, shoot. All right. John, college football's done. That's all I got for that. We got our guy now calling in, Fred Fellner, KFAP Connection. Fred, how we doing? Do I sound better this week?
Sound great, man. Calling from lovely Salem, Massachusetts.
Oh, are you? What you doing up there?
A little hocus pocus action going on.
I was gonna say, you doing some witch hunting?
Oh, we went on a witch walk. We went on a witch walk last night, and I had a coffee with Count Chocula milk in it this morning. So I guess you could say I got some things going for me.
Brent, are you going to the? Did you go? I'm sorry, Brent. I cut you off
no,
for a second, man. Are you going? Did you go to the Hall of Fame up there yet?
I did. Pictures pending. I'll hit you. We just got checked into our room in Salem because Springfield is like with traffic. It was like 3.5 hours from Salem. So it was a day of just nonstop driving, but it was worth it, man. Springfield, the Hall of Fame is incredible.
Yep.
My wife had to hand me a big thing of tissue in the Kobe wing. That was pretty rough. Man, the deer basketball video. Like, yeah, it was emotional, but yeah, Kobe is the only player wing in that place. Everyone else, not even Jordan, gets his own wing in the NBA Hall of Fame. But as a Detroiter, to see Ben Wallace and C-Web in their own little, you know, spot in the rotunda was pretty tight. And I definitely took a timeout pick with the Weber jersey, so had to have a little fun and make fun of myself a little bit. So
right.
The NBA Hall of Fame is great, though. That place is amazing. It's this big, giant silver rotunda off the highway, and it's a beautiful complex, a beautiful facility. And you get to shoot, too. There's a big, giant court, and, yes, they do have peach basket hoops, so your boy was hitting threes on the peach basket in there.
I'm sure it looks better than it used to. I was there in 2005. I worked a basketball camp in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, And then we went one day to go visit it in 2005, and it was great. So I can just imagine how 16 years later, how Moore's in there now?
Oh, incredible. Absolutely incredible. So I'll even bless the Crossroads Twitter with me raining jump shots. Your boy was hitting threes with polo jeans on out there. So
ooh,
just making it rain.
Oh, Lindsey Hunter action. I like it.
Lindsey Hunter. Maybe Terry Mills, you know?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. All right, I'll give you that.
Detroit podcast takeover.
I'm glad you called in because in my girlfriend's sister's fiance, yeah, go ahead and follow that trail. He's a big Lions fan, and I had to check on him after this weekend's game. Fred, I watched your Instagram story, I think, three times. Damn, that's a tough way. Damn. That's all I could say.
Well, you know, if you've seen that SNL skit with Chris, Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock on election night, and everybody's, like, freaking out, and they're just looking at each other like, this isn't new. That's kind of what it was like as a Lions fan with the flurry of texts on my phone. Like, man, are you okay? It's like, dude, I'm from Pontiac, Michigan. Like, the Lions will find new and fun, creative ways to rip your heart out of your chest and lose in historic fashion. So I wasn't screaming. You know, my wife's in the room right now with me. Was I screaming when the Lions? Nope. She just shook her head no. So, yeah, I mean, it's expected. And no lead is ever big enough. No time on the clock is ever enough time. It's just how it is. And it is what it is. Bobby Lane cursed this team many, 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 many moons ago. And in what a beautiful way to bring that up, because I'm in Salem, the spookiest place in the country. Curses are real, my friends, and they exist in Detroit, Michigan at Ford Field. So hats off to Tucker. That's insane. 66 yards.
They were.
You know, people are going to cry about, putting three up front and on the 4th and 19. They shouldn't have been in that position to get it off. People can complain about the delay game not getting called.
Absolutely.
Any other team, they call that. It's the Lions. But the thing that I summed it up with, and this isn't sour grapes or woe is me, it's the fact that what does the league have to win if the Lions win? Like, what good thing happens if the Lions win? If the
you
Lions
get a good
lose,
Thanksgiving game.
Yeah, if the Lions lose, life goes on. It's business as usual. But if, you know, the Packers win or there's an improbable field goal, that's more intrigue. Sure. The Lions pulled it off against the Ravens. Nobody really picked them to win, and they won. There's no intrigue to that. If the Lions lose, nobody cares. So it just kind of goes along with it. But, I mean, it is what it is. I'm still a fan. I'm still going to be watching them play the Bears. Who knows who the quarterback will be in that game. But I'm still a fan. I'll always love them. I was born into it. I had no choice. Like, again, I'm from Pontiac. I didn't choose the Lions. The Lions chose me. So.
Okay. Hey, I got some housekeeping. Some behind the scenes, pull the curtain back housekeeping between the three of us. And we're going to do it over the air real quick since it's easy. I don't know what we got to do. Let's figure this out about tickets for AEW this Friday.
So I can secure the bag if you just want to bless the PayPal tomorrow. The pre-sale goes on sale tomorrow morning. So after we get off the air tonight, if you just want to discuss it amongst each other, we can go ahead
and
do
that.
But, yeah, the pre-sale's tomorrow, so I'll secure the bag, as the kids say, and we'll go from there. So
I'm down with it. Sounds good. We'll talk on Facebook Messenger. I'll put a group together.
Exactly. But, yeah, no problem tomorrow. I can hook us up, and we'll go from there.
Sweet. What's your thoughts? I thought last week was a good show, both of them up there in Arthur Ashe. I thought both Rampage and AEW Dynamite were both pretty good.
That environment, man. I mean, there's certain, like, Hammerstein for ECW, you know, MSG for the longest time with WWF, WWE, you know, the Georgia Dome with WCW. There's certain buildings that just, you know, PWG had Reseda. There's certain buildings that are just iconic, and that is in the makings of being their iconic arena, their iconic venue. I know Jacksonville's home, and that's kind of the home base, but Arthur Ashe, man, that environment is it's just something else. Just it's almost like one of those basketball gyms where everybody's like breathing on top of one another and the players. It was so loud for Omega and Danielson. The loudest TV crowd probably, honestly, that I've heard since Hogan and Goldberg at the Georgia Dome. I can't think of a louder crowd. Maybe MSG when Triple H returned, but they were loud all night, though. It wasn't just a match. Like, they were loud all night. So that's the new iconic venue in the making, and one day hopefully we'll all be fortunate enough to go see a show there. But again, it goes back to what we talked about last week. It's all momentum, and tonight's show builds on the next. I know tonight's the Brody Lee tribute show because they're in Rochester. Everybody's thinking Rotunda's going to show up. Nah. Guys, it's too many debuts in one little bit of time for them. They're not just going to throw everything out there so soon. So I honestly don't. Sorry, we got our rental car barking at us and interrupting the broadcast. we're probably not going to see Wyatt on television until after the new year. I honestly don't think we see Rotunda until then. So it's going to be a bit.
Do you think we'll see him coming from Impact to go to A&W? Because I saw Impact's going to try to throw the bag at him.
No, it's not going to happen. They might do some Forbidden Door type thing where they have, you know, they have Wyatt, you know, going up against one of their bigger stars or something like that down the road. But, like, he's not going to work for Impact. Like, he will be a AEW wrestler, and that's about it with that.
Okay. Fred, I know you. Myself and Jonathan, we both watched part of I watched part of Extreme Rules this past Sunday. Roman Reigns, for the last, 14 months, he's been world champ. I don't think he's ever had a bad match. And I liked the Finn Balor-Reigns match. You can say the ending was a little different, was bad, or it was a different ending. And I liked the fact that the rope broke, and it kind of gave that. I kind of liked the way it was something that not everybody expected in there, but Reigns just keeps putting banger after banger after banger of good stuff.
Yeah, it was a good match. He sold for Finn Balor, and the Demon character is I could see them transitioning him into a different feud with somebody else, a bigger, you know what I'm saying, more high profile type of person. They're not gonna let it be Reigns. That's clear. But they had a good match. The ending reminded me of some old ECW. Endings like between Sabu and oh my God, and Hank, whoever held Sabu. They've done that before. Paul has done that before, where the ring broke, something like to cause the decision of a match, man. But my thoughts on the total pay-per-view, I thought it was I thought it was okay. It was average.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe because I watched it on Peacock. You know what I'm saying? But I thought it was average. It's not really extreme at all. Other than, you know what I'm saying, they kind of let Paul has kind of become this is kind of shade, and it's also kind of complimentary as well. Paul Heyman has kind of become the Bobby Heenan of the WWE. Like, he is the manager that you want to have your guys, like, you know what I'm saying, a good stable, but his stable's not as big as Bobby Heenan's, you know what I'm saying? But his influence on the show, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. His influence on the show, the entertainment, you know what I'm saying, the behind-the-curtain stuff that he does with the reporters, you know, on the microphone, or even the stuff that he, you know what I'm saying, the stuff that he kind of, you know what I'm saying, the mix that he kind of churns with the wrestlers, the performers, is kind of in the same vein of Bobby Heenan. Now, I'm not saying Paul Heyman, when he was Paul the Dangerously, he had some of those things. When he managed, you know what I'm saying, the Midnight Express 100,000 years ago, and when he was the manager, you know what I'm saying, when he worked for WCW, and, you know what I'm saying, when he was like on air, when he was a personality, not necessarily, you know what I'm saying. But so, you know, again, they kind of let him do a little bit more, even though I know Vince and
and Bruce and whoever else Dunn are still running the show behind closed doors. So, but other than that, it was okay pay-per-view. You know what I mean? But again, you know, say the other company, AEW, they have all the mojo. They got all the progress
right.
going. So, go ahead.
I thought real quick, I was thinking about it. I watched just the other night, I watched the Chris Kanyon, Dark Side of the Ring. I thought it was a great documentary of that.
I still need to watch that. My thoughts of Chris Kanyon was a guy, you know what I'm saying, WCW always was good for letting mid-card guys get a little bit of shine, a little bit until, you know what I'm saying, a Hogan or a Nash said, no, that's a little bit too much. You know what I'm saying? But Kanyon was one of that guys. He was kind of a jobber, I thought, when I first saw him. And then, you know what I'm saying, he wasn't in Chronic, was he? I'm confusing him. He had Mortis when he had the Mortis gimmick. I'm pretty sure that's him, right?
I don't remember. Fred Mike.
he put on the mask, but like, no, man, he moved up the card. Basically, what I'm trying
to say.
Yeah,
he feuded with Glacier. Mortis was in that feud with Glacier. That is none other than Chris Kanyon.
Considering that Glacier was a flop, you know what I'm saying?
That was a flop.
They made it look good, but like I said, Chris Kanyon, again, man, you know what I'm saying? A lot of demons outside of the ring, a lot of secrets, you know what I'm saying, that he kept to himself or whatever. But I still got to watch that. So I'm a little bit behind on that one.
Okay. Fred, anything else,
yeah,
my guy?
I was just going to say, it's almost like the Dark Side of the Ring documentary is ignite wrestling Twitter. Like, let's maybe Dark Side of the Ring could cover, like, capitalism on their show or, like, race inequality and social. So maybe they should, like, put things that are a little bit deeper, still of importance, but just on a broader scale. To you know, make more of an impact, if that's the thing that's going to ignite Twitter to, like,
yeah,
start coming with the pitchforks and, you know, the torches and whatnot. No, Kanyon, it makes you sick to your stomach if you actually care about human beings and you watch that documentary. And honestly, the real MVP is the Sinister Minister, James Mitchell. That was the MVP coming out of that.
Yeah.
I think he's indicative and very emblematic of a best friend and someone unconditionally caring about someone while getting,
mm-hmm,
you know, your ass beat, for lack of a better phrase, because this person has so much anger built up and doesn't know how to get it out. It's sad. It's a sad story. John Cena doesn't look good coming out of that. And whether you want to say, well, it was like 7 years ago and blah, 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 blah. To have John Cena say that Chris Kanyon can't wrestle and isn't a good wrestler is hilarious. And then lastly, seeing how disgusting of an angle and just how petty WWE can be with people of, like, ribbing people on wrestling storylines. They had Kanyon in a coming out of a box, coming out, singing Boy George with, like, a stutter. And Undertaker hitting him with, like, multiple unprotected chair shots. It's just disgusting stuff, man. And people can say, oh, that happened a long time ago and this, this, and that. But it just, how many of these different instances do you got to see with this company to just not be just grossed out and be like, dude, you know? And
right.
It's, you know, my most infamous kayfabe tweet is, and I think it's still pinned on my profile. I'm barely on that anymore. But my infamous tweet is, if we're in the canceling mood, can we cancel Vince McMahon for dropping an N-bomb in the city of Detroit on pay-per-view? I mean, if we're going to be all canceling
right. People,
like, you know, so people cherry pick on that stuff. And especially when it comes to wrestling, I mean, you got to look at the puppet master behind that stuff. And it's just, it's gross. And there's a long-standing history. I mean, hell, they made fun of JR after he had Bell's palsy and made fun of him on air and, like, ridiculed him on air. So it's gross. And you're not going to expect empathy and decent human beings in the wrestling industry. It's carny. It's based in carnival mentality, and it's kind of a dog eats dog environment. And, you know, to finish this rant on this, sorry guys, but you know, that whole when men were men thing that Undertaker said on the Rogan podcast, right. I get the point that Taker was trying to make, but at the same time, I'd rather have dudes playing Nintendo Switch and spraying hairspray in their hair than getting pilled out and, like, flashing their penis to a stewardess or dying of heart attacks at 40 and abusing substances and ruining their legacies. I'd rather have dudes play in PS5 and being on Twitch than being in strip clubs, yep, getting in trouble and being on drugs all the time. Because as Tony Dungy once said, nothing good ever happens after 2 a.m. So that's the end of that rant. So put a bow on that rant.
My dad says midnight, so I like the 2 a.m. better. Well, Fred, it's been a pleasure as always. Good luck this weekend with the Bears and Lions. I'll be in touch with you after the show. That way we can get, because I can't wait to watch Jonathan try to sing Judas. I'm looking forward to that.
Judas
live
on my mind.
That's hilarious. No, looking forward to it, fellas. Yeah, well, we'll link up. We just send that messenger chat, and we'll work it out after the show. But as always, man, thanks a lot, and have a great rest of your show.
Thanks, Fred.
Enjoy your rest of your vacation, bud.
All right. Fred Fellner, KFAB Connection. Always great insight from him. John, we got about 8 minutes left. I'm going to quick dive through this. MLB playoffs postseason starts next week. Reds are out of it officially now. The Cardinals have won 16 straight, going for 17 straight tonight. Yankees are about to wrap up, likely the AL wild card number one. They're going to be playing the Red Sox in the one-game playoff next week. Most likely. It's crazy. You're going to win 100 games. One team is going to win over 100 and some games in baseball. And instead of getting in the playoffs, they're going to be in a one-game
wild card
playoff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. So we'll see. The Blue Jays are rolling. The Seattle Mariners are coming out of nowhere now. So the baseball race is heating up here as we got, six games left in the season. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, the St. Louis Cardinals, hottest team in baseball.
Yeah, yeah, crazy. They'll get in and they'll lose. They'll flop it. You watch. Gainbridge Fieldhouse, the new home of the Indiana Pacers. It was Conseco Fieldhouse, then it went to Bankers Life.
Yeah.
Now it's Gainbridge. It'll take some getting used to, but I like the name. The contract ran out over a year ago, so it's just been kind of floating around. Gainbridge, welcome. We'll work with Crossroads.
Dude,
Crossroads Fieldhouse didn't work, I guess.
Yeah, dude, I still call it Conseco, man. Shame on me. But, hell, I still call San Diego Chargers, too.
Yeah, and you call them the Oakland Raiders.
Yep, Pac-10.
Ben Simmons, apparently Ben Simmons said today that he's willing to sit out until he's not traded. He'll sit the whole season out. The Philadelphia 76ers wanted to fly some guys out to Los Angeles to meet with Simmons, and he said, hey, don't even worry about flying out here. I don't want to talk to any of y'all.
Yeah, but that's a whole lot. He's going to get traded. It just depends upon what Philadelphia wants to take back. Ben Simmons doesn't really have any leverage. Usually the NBA players have leverage in where they want to go. Ben Simmons says he wants to go to the LA market. Well, those teams are kind of set, especially when LeBron GM, the general manager, has done all his GMing already all this summer. And the Clippers are kind of not interested in the services of Ben Simmons. So if he wants to end up in a California team, that's a possibility between the Warriors and the Sacramento Kings, or even potentially with the Portland Trailblazers. But all roads, kind of, like I said, kind of lead out west somewhere, maybe even Houston. But Ben Simmons, he's not suiting up for a Philadelphia 76ers anytime soon.
Tell me if you heard this before. Pacers media day, everything sounds good. Carlisle kind of had a bland response about injuries, and it comes out Adrian Wojnarowski yesterday. Caris LeVert out with a stress fracture in his back. Could return sometime around the start of the season. You've already got T.J. Warren out, John. Are we ever going to see the full potential of this Pacers squad?
Yeah, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth, man. You know, the Pacers don't have the luxury of having those alpha players like LeBron, like Durant, like a Giannis or whatever. So what Kevin Pritchard kind of put together is a great cast of guys that
you know what I'm saying, if they can play together, they can win some games, win some ball games, man, and potentially even, you know, make some noise in the playoffs. But that kind of leaves a bad taste in that with LeVert and TJ Warren, you know what I'm saying, two guys, two starters, right, that you want to kind of lead the charge for you. Injuries don't necessarily – just injury. Everybody's not Wolverine like Tom Brady and LeBron James, man, so people heal up a little bit differently. I don't want nobody to rush back just to, you know what I'm saying, say, oh man, I'm trying to hawk up and play basketball so the Pacers get their season jump started. I still have a little bit more faith from versus what you kind of said, you know what I'm saying, us losing the first 12 games or something crazy like that. I still have a little bit more faith in the coaching staff and having this team prepared to win some ball games, some close ones. There won't be no 155-point ball games like we had versus Washington last year where we stunk on ice. So yes, it leaves a bad taste that you get that your key players aren't going to be out there on the floor potentially at the start of the season. But I have a little bit more faith in this coaching staff and some of the roster moves, and not necessarily in the moves, but you know, since some of the other veteran expectations that we have on this team to win ball games. So I ain't necessarily ready to, you know what I'm saying, throw the season away just yet.
Okay. Last thing. Real quick, Kyrie Irving's now going to get vaccinated. KD urged him. Like I told you off air, hey, either you're with us or you're not. If you're not, get the hell out of here. Kyrie, you
right.
Skipped media day, all this. He got it. So if he wasn't going to get it, he'd have to sit out all the home games. So
at that point,
James Harden just said today he's not worried about a contract extension. It's not going to derail him trying to win a title this year. So I do like hearing that from him as Brooklyn tries to get out of the East this year.
Yeah, the best availability that they have is team availability. Their star players have to be, because they're kind of thin at other positions. They have to have their best players out there. Kyrie Irving has to be out there. They played like 10 or so, less than 10 games together as a unit throughout the regular season last year. You can't win a championship like that. So, again, a little peer pressure. I get it. It was peer pressure not only from his locker room, but from around the NBA. The GOAT, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, had made comments about getting vaccinated. So did LeBron. So, you know, if you ain't all in, you know what I'm saying, you ain't all in. So there you go.
Okay. all right. That's all I've got. John, go ahead and wrap us, my guy. It was a great show.
How could we – I know. I promised the people, man. We talked a little IndyCar. We kind of blew college football and NFL, man. But like Colton Herta, man. Again, another, you know what I'm saying, finishing the IndyCar season, winning this past weekend at at Long Beach. He's not the points leader.
Alex Pillow won the points.
Yeah, he won the points. But like, man, next season, I don't know, Brandon. Is some of these guys gonna get pulled away to go to F1? You think at some point? Uh oh.
You're good. It'll be interesting. A lot of movement, a lot of silly season movement going on with those guys. I want to give a quick shout out USA, 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 USA won the Ryder Cup. That was awesome. I watched it all weekend.
I forgot. We didn't talk. I thought we were going to expand on that, but it is what it is, man. We'll chime in on a little bit more, man. Like I said, I know we're a little short for time. I want to say thank you to everybody that kind of chimed in on the Facebook broadcast. Justin Powell, Scott Nichols, Tamika. I know some other folks. Thanks, Fred, for calling in. Thanks, Tanner, for calling in. Friends of the program. I don't know where Reggie's at. We'll get his ass. Sorry, And D-Cott, we'll get their friend of the program. We'll get them up next week or so. But, like, no, man, great show. I appreciate everybody, like I said, chiming in. I appreciate everybody listening to me and Brandon with our expertise sales, man. Hey, RIP to Dan Dockey's show, man. he's going to Outkick, y'all, man. I told you, man. I'm gonna keep on jabbing him until he comes on this show so we can settle our beef, man. But man, we had a great show tonight. We're going to have an even better show next week. So thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.